Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and David Deal here on this hump day at the facility. And did you get my tweet earlier? I went to Starbucks today because I was up for five hours and 9 minutes because I was watching the World Series.
But who's counting 5 hours and 9 minutes?
5 hours and 9 minutes because I was watching, hoping the Mets would win the first game of the World Series. So I didn't get to. So that ended at like 1:15, 1:30 in the morning. So by the time I let the anger, just subside and actually went to bed, I'd say it was like 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I went and I got my coffee with an extra shot of espresso. So I had three espresso shots this morning.
So you're amped. She's
so
ready to go.
So I sent you a tweet this morning. I was like, I'm bouncing off the walls right now, David Deal. Are you ready for me?
I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy. I'm not going to lie. Dave Deal, Dunkin' Donuts. It's no coincidence. Same initials.
Right.
So I'm
works
Dunkin'
for you.
Guy. It does. It works for
DD.
Me.
DD.
You know, that's what I've always had. So I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy, but I did have a Dunkin' Turbo this morning. Not because I stayed up late. I couldn't stay up for the whole game. I was
a
busy
Dunkin'
with my
Turbo.
Daughter all day. So I was done last night. I didn't get to finish watching the game, but woke up this morning, made sure I got my coffee before.
You didn't watch the game?
No.
The World Series.
I had math and science and vocab to do with my daughter Addison last
Look
night.
At you.
By the time I got her done to sleep, her lunch and everything ready, I was shot.
Well, it's great. You're such a good dad.
Thank you.
So we welcome you in. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, David Deal, and you. And I'm sure we're going to get a ton of calls today, 201-939-4.
There's no news today. What are you talking about?
Really? 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. And some phenomenal news, and that is JPP has signed a contract. It's incentive-based, and understandably so, because, let's face it, Dave, just don't know really what to expect from Jason Pierre-Paul once he gets back on the football field. Reports are that the Giants are hoping that he'll return maybe week 10, maybe week 12. Week 10 is against the Patriots. Week 12, I want to say, is against Washington. So, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully, don't know what the expectations are, but hopefully we'll see some type of, Jason Pierre-Paul, vintage Jason Pierre-Paul that we've seen before.
No question. I think, number one, the best thing is that all the questions, all the drama, all of the things that have been surrounding this football team, the organization, and JPP is finally finished. I mean, we've been talking about this since the 4th of July, and then even before that, it's been about the contract, the holdout. So this has been a long time coming for this to happen. But I think everybody's waiting to see how this is going to turn out and what he is going to do in order to get back to who he was as a football player. Obviously, he's done everything that he can possibly do physically. He's back up to 268 pounds. They say he looks strong. They say he's been working and doing defensive line drills and working up against the bag and doing shoot stuff and doing everything you possibly can to get back. But at the same token, there's a completely different thing from being in shape and being football shape. You can train, you can run 2,000-yard sprints, you can do gassers, but when you get on the football field for a long extended drive, when you're going up against an offensive tackle and you're pushing and twisting and torquing and using every ounce of your body and every muscle in your body, it's going to break you down and it's going to wear you down. So, number one, you want to see where he is in that part physically and conditioning, but then the next aspect is obviously the biggest one. How is he going to be able to use that hand? Is he going to have a club? Is he going to have a specific brace to cover that hand? And we all know the strength of JPP as a pass rusher is using that long arm, giving the one-arm stab and being able to press the offensive tackle in the chest and using that long arm so that an offensive tackle can't grab or touch him, ripping edges, pulling and controlling inside. And also at that defensive end spot is being at the point of attack, setting everything up and sealing everything from the outside in at the point of attack. So there's a lot of questions, but all the rehab, everything he's done to this point has been very encouraging. The team embraced him with open arms as well as the coaches. And, when you think about these things, as unfortunate as it was, You know, you're thankful that he's alive and that he is being able to come back to what he's doing and what he loves to do.
Absolutely. I think it's a really good feel in that locker room right now, the fact that JPP is back on this team. And if you did tune into the Tom Coughlin press conference, if you missed it at all, you can see the podcast or it's on Giants.com. But I thought it was pretty interesting. Tom Coughlin very excited that JPP's back. He as well has no expectations. I think it's going to be kind of let's see what he can do. Tom did mention that he was going to play with a club because he doesn't have the ability to grip like he used to. And what I did like what Tom had to say was that he's thinking about considering JPP traveling with the team to New Orleans. Typically, that doesn't happen.
No, if you're an injured player, you do not travel.
Right,
no.
Right. Like, for example, Dez Bryant. Did you know that Dez Bryant
took his own commercial flight
to get on the sideline for the Dallas Cowboys last week. So, but just to have him kind of get acclimated to traveling with the team and being around the team and the camaraderie, I kind of dig that. I kind of like that Tom mentioned that today.
I do as well, and I think the thing that he said is we want him around the competitiveness. We want him around the game and the energy because that's something that he's been missing for a long period of time. And as difficult and how unfortunate the situation it is, the work ethic he put in, the determination he had to come back, I think he earned and deserved the right to come and hopefully travel and see what he does this weekend and if he travels with the football team.
Also, as we're hosting this show with you now, Giants are practicing as we speak. And good news, Odell Beckham Jr. is practicing. Tom Coughlin said that he's going to practice today. Unfortunately, not anticipating Victor Cruz or Will Beatty to suit up against the Saints in New Orleans.
We'll see what happens with Will Beatty. Now it's getting him back into football. Coach Coughlin said, and I think we all know it, he hasn't been in a helmet and shoulder pads in a long period of time. So it's another thing of getting him back in condition, getting him back in shape. And then also, once he does come back and establish things, I still, to this point, think that the best bet and the best situation would be to put him at right tackle and to have that offensive line structure so that Newhouse could be the swing person and could back up that right tackle position.
Again, so we're taking your calls. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Now's the time to do it. 201-939-4513. Also, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag GiantsChat. And I will monitor, of course, and share your tweets throughout the show. All right, before we start looking forward to the Saints, let's look back to the win against the Dallas Cowboys. 27-20, of course, and now what happens? Well, the Giants, they're at the top of their division at 4-3. Of course, you've got Washington and the Eagles that are below them. They're on a bye this week.
Yep.
And Dallas, a very difficult matchup against the Seattle Seahawks, mind you. But your takeaway, it's so funny, because my fantasy football affiliation.
Yes, of course.
I'm getting a ton of tweets. Should we pick up Orleans Darkwa?
I know he's been tough to pick up. I know a lot of people have been fighting for him.
But there's four guys in this backfield, David. You don't want to own a back that shares carries with four backs in the backfield. So, no, I wouldn't warrant a pickup in fantasy football. But I will tell you this. In real football talk, I loved the way he ran the football. I loved his vision in the way that he was able to read the holes, how he hit the holes. I was excited what I saw from him.
I was excited, too, because it showed the glimpses of who he was during the preseason. And, you got to give Orleans Darkwell a lot of credit because he took advantage of the opportunity given to him. He didn't know how many carries he had. He didn't know what it would be and what the role would be perfectly fit into the game plan. But when he did get his opportunities, he maximized them right downhill, north and south, full speed, no hesitation at the hole, ran through arm tackles, showed his toughness, and I think he showed his determination with that final touchdown run. Three people hanging on him, and he was still able to stretch out and get it into the end zone. So you got to give him a lot of credit, and it's a big boost for this offense to have another back come in and provide the stability and the support to help the run game to open things up, and hopefully it's a sign of what's to come. But at the same time, like you said, you know how important Jennings is and Vereen to this offense as well. So you don't know how many carries that he's going to get. You just hope that when he does get his carries, they turn out like they did against the Cowboys.
Absolutely. And, it wasn't a pretty win for the Giants. But you know what? A win is a win. They're at the top of the NFC East, which is great. You've got to credit Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
No question.
He had a great game, pick six. Also, Dwayne Harris, who wins NFC Special Teams Player of the Week this week. So really excited for him against his old team. Always fun, right?
Gotta love that. When you gotta put up the little dagger.
Right.
Yeah.
When you put up points against your old team, and he obviously upset a few folks on that defensive line, defensive sideline. But with that being said, listen, this is a whole new game. Heading to New Orleans, and I had a conversation with Paul Dottino yesterday, and he was telling me, like, in his film study, is that these two teams are so similar.
They really are.
In a lot of the way that they operate and their identity as a football team. Do you see a lot of similarities?
I do. I do see a lot of similarities. Getting back for them, getting back to the basics. You know, you see Drew Brees now really turning things over ever since that shoulder injury. You know, they're taking more of a dink and dunk approach. You're going to see a lot of picks, rubs. He's going to run bootlegs. They're going to run things down the seam. And he's going to try to get that up-tempo quick passing game going. But at the same time, this is a team that's number one in the league in explosive plays because they've got 32 over 20 yards. So, you know, even with that ability that they're able to break things offensively, their offensive line is shaky, but they found a way against the Colts to maximize their runs. You got to give a lot of credit to the way that Ingram ran in this last game. As a group, their running backs averaged 5.1 a carry. And going into that Colts game, they were 31st in the NFL. But when you watch that Colts game, it doesn't look that way. Defensively, they've had some injuries, especially on the back end. They're playing a lot of young guys, just like the New York Giants. But they're stepping up, and they're making, you know, strides each and every week. Their nickels are completely banged up, whether it's Keenan Lewis or Swan. Both of those guys sat out. Keenan Lewis had a hernia, and then Swan had the concussion. Both of those guys got held up, and it's really hurt them on the back end. But I think you said it. I think for them going 0-2, they've won two of the last three, two in a row. You really see their confidence starting to go, and they've learned from those losses, just like the New York Giants have. One of the things that really concerns me offensively for the New York Giants, last week against the Dallas Cowboys, they were only 3-for-11 on third down. And a lot of those third downs were 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6 in that manageable spot where you need it,
right,
where you can still run play action, you can still do different things, and you don't have to completely stretch it down the field. When you're doing that up against this defense in the crowd noise, you have got to convert, and you have got to make sure that you continue to move the chains forward to control the time of possession, because we're facing Drew Brees this week. It's not Matt Castle. It's not Kirk Cousins. It's not Tyrod Taylor. It's not Colin Kaepernick. This is Drew Brees.
It's a legit NFL
veteran quarterback.
Right.
That if he gets time and if he can control the tempo of this football game, it can get ugly.
In talking about that third down situation, you know, it's interesting, this trend that's going on with Odell Beckham Jr., especially, and again, I'm throwing in the whole fantasy aspect. That's how I look at his stats, but he has one bad week, two good weeks. One bad week, two good weeks. This Dallas game was a bad week. I want to say, what was he, 5-for-44, something like that. So he's due for two more good games in regard to the trend that he's putting up in fantasy. But in all seriousness, you know, that is the go-to guy that Eli Manning looks for on third down. You know, it's that quick slant pass, and you know his yards after the catch. He's going to deliver because he's the most athletic guy on the field. And he was just bottled up. Dallas Cowboys were so physical. I mean, you saw his frustration on the sideline too, David.
You did.
So I think that was really a big key. When you've got a team like the Giants that unfortunately don't have a lot of success rushing the football on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, you're looking for Odell on a quick slant or a quick out, because he's going to beat that guy on that first step. But for whatever reason, the Dallas Cowboys, now this is two times. Keep in mind, both times that Odell Beckham Jr. has faced the Dallas Cowboys, they've had his number. I don't think that same situation is going to happen in New Orleans.
I don't either. And you know Rob Ryan is an attacking defensive coordinator. He wants to blitz. He wants to get in Eli Manning's face, get him off of his spot, and make him throw it across the middle off of his back foot, because that's when Eli's had his problems with the poor judgment, getting things out late and trying to force things. So you know Rob Ryan wants to be on the attack, but also you know Rob Ryan loves that bully mentality. He loves to be the one that's on the attack. He wants to be aggressor. We're the bad boys, this and that. So you know that they're going to try at some point in this game, and I believe it's early, they're going to try to get in Odell Beckham Jr.'s head. You've seen it throughout the entire season that you see people talking, trying to get him out of his game.
Yeah, but he talks back now.
He does. No, I understand
he's
that.
He's got a lot of swag in his game, too. He doesn't take a lot from anyone.
I understand. But in this game particularly, when you're playing up against Rob Ryan and a defense like this that are playing at home, the stadium's going to be absolutely electric because it's the Halloween weekend. You know how New Orleans is, so you know it's going to be a loud, hostile environment. And just like any week, but more importantly, this week in this environment, the Giants offensively have got to start fast. They've got to, because if they start lingering early, just like the last week with the Colts, the Saints can completely blew it out of the water. You see Sean Payton being more aggressive as a coach, the fake field goal. They're trying anything that they can possibly do to get energy, to get enthusiasm, and get confidence on their sidelines. And it's been working the last 2 weeks.
They need to. Look at their division. Carolina's taking really the league by storm, and Atlanta only has one loss. I want to remind folks, this show, well, it's brought to you by DraftKings. Don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live, again, is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. I'm heading to DraftKings later on today. I'm meeting your buddy, Chris Snee.
Okay.
And Plaxico Burress at DraftKings, and we're going to get a little tour of the facility and
see how
their day-to-day operations kind of work.
I'm sure it's going to be hectic today, but I couldn't even imagine that place on a Sunday. Could you imagine the people running around and the energy in that building of how much stuff is happening? It's crazy how much DraftKings and all this fantasy is really taking everything by storm. I mean, you can't look anywhere and not see anything for DraftKings.
And you know I'm loving every minute.
I know you are.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go out to our calls. We go to Russell calling in from Georgia. Russell, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Hey, what's going on? It's Russell from Alaska, too. You know, in the military, you bounce around. I'm in school right now.
Oh, Alaska. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question right now. I know I've been open hearing, like lately I've been listening to Giants.com, listening, going on, even when the losses and the wins. My question with the Giants is, I want to know something. Victor Cruz, is he out for the season or are we going to keep prolonging this? Because I say it's a calf injury and I'm just watching it like, what's up? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I know JBP just signed his contract. BD's coming back. I'm like, when are they going to come back?
Well,
Jr. is not having, you know, a blowout type game because they know he's the prime.
Well, Victor Cruz didn't play last year. That's not the reason why. But if Victor Cruz wasn't going to play this season, he'd be on IR. I think there's hope that this calf issue is going to heal, and hopefully at some point in time he will be a part of this team. I mean, maybe it's after the bye. Maybe it's November 29th at Washington. I don't know. There's no timetable. Unfortunately, an MRI was done on the calf, and it still is not good enough for this Giants staff to clear him to play. Unfortunately, he's dying to get out there, trust me. I mean, probably nobody is more frustrated right now than Victor Cruz in regard to how this has panned out.
So here's the question. We got four running backs. You think it's smart to make a trade for that tight end from the 49ers? Because the 49ers are tanking. You think he wouldn't be a good fit for the Giants?
He's talking about Vernon Davis. Thank you for the call, Russell, by the way.
You know, it's a great question. I mean, obviously the San Francisco 49ers have not been using Vernon Davis the way that he's capable of playing. He's had some injuries.
Not just this year. Last year as well.
I know.
For the past two seasons.
You know, he had a hamstring injury earlier, and we actually talked about this question I think a week ago. I think somebody asked us about the Vernon Davis. I would be all for it, but it depends on what you are giving up for Vernon Davis, because you know that it's not going to be for a player. You know that the San Francisco 49ers are going to want a draft pick, because with a new coach, the GM taking over, and everything that's happening there with Jed York and Belkey, you know that they want to create turnover in the roster, because we've all seen that the 49ers are not getting it done right now. Yes, I think he would be dynamic in this. You think about all the tight ends that have played huge in this Ben McAdoo system. So it would be a huge stretch to have him working the seams, working the crossing routes across the middle. But the only problem is what is the value for what you would get for him? So that's, I think, the point of where we're at now. And, you know, in regards to Victor Cruz, I think where we're at right now is I think everybody's still questioning it. I honestly think where there's going to be some issues down the road is if week 10 JPP is back before Victor Cruz. And I mean, that's a legitimate possibility right now.
Right. Right. And this is a tweet. Again, you can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Johnny. He says, expect Eli and OBJ to show out in their hometown. Yeah, don't forget, Eli and, of course, Odell, both from New Orleans. This will be the first time that Odell is playing in New Orleans. I'm sure they both want to show out.
Of course. And you know that there's going to be a huge crowd and supporting Odell Beckham Jr., and you know that there's going to be all the LSU Tigers there, and you know that there's going to be all the Eli Manning supporters as well. But it's going to be a small sliver compared to all the people who are sitting here on the Saints side, knowing how important this game is for them and their season moving forward, because they can't lose any more games, especially these division ones. They have to get these wins racked up with the way that Carolina's taking over the division. And like you said, Atlanta's only has one loss. So in order for them to even compete to get into the playoffs, they know that this is a must-win for them. So you know that Sean Payton and this staff is going to have the New Orleans Saints completely fired up, and they're going to come out swinging because they know their backs are up against the wall right now.
This is from AJ. Giants got to play better on the road. They haven't this far, under 500 on the road, 1-2. Talk about the difference, what it is. I mean, obviously you're home, you get to sleep in your own bed. You know, you don't have to worry about the travel, and then of course you're playing a different time zone sometimes, and all that comes into play. I mean, how difficult, like how different do you feel on game day when you're on the road as opposed to home, Dave?
Well, I think it's just in regards to your routine. I think athletes and football players are so used to a routine, and it's so much easier to get into that routine when you are home. You're in your own locker room, your own facilities, your own field. You know where everything's at. You have everything accessible right at your fingertips. You can ask your equipment manager. If you don't have something, they'll go to the equipment room. It's not like that on the road. Especially game day. It's getting prepared, getting time. You don't have the hot tubs and cold tubs like you usually do at home. There's a lot of different aspects that go into playing on the road. And the other factor is coming out and playing with confidence. There was a time where, you know, we would thrive on playing on the road because there's no better feeling walking away and having 70 or 80,000 people completely silent and walking away with a win. But for this football team, the road games are the ones that have had penalties, turnovers, all the miscues. And when you do that on the road and it's continual, it's almost like quicksand and it's continuing to pull you down and you're trying to get out of it. So, like I said, it's very important for this team, but more importantly, the Giants offense to start fast and get some points on the board, because this New Orleans defense has given up 20 points a game throughout the entire season. And they're 30th in the league in yards given up. They're giving up over 400 yards a game. So this offense in this system against this defense can really put up some big numbers, but they can't do it with penalties, and they definitely cannot turn over the football, because that's when Drew Brees and this offense can completely explode.
201-939-4513 is the number. Let's go to line two. We have Owen calling in from New York. Owen, you're on board.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Just want to touch on a few things. Firstly, the guys mentioned Cruz and Beatty and JPP. Also, you could throw in Prince. I know Prince is probably a couple of weeks out, but as long as we have these guys healthy after the bye week, I'm pretty much happy with that. We could really make a serious playoff push. I think that would be really good. The win last week against Dallas wasn't pretty, but it was okay. I would like to see Whitlock a little bit more. I think he's a big playmaker, defense and offense and special teams. The week prior, I thought they should have used him on that goal line play where they used Jennings, and I think he would have got in on the one. I think that would have been a much better option. Going forward, I just want to see Darkwell get a lot more touches. Nothing against Jennings or Williams. Jennings, I feel, he approaches the line a little timid. He doesn't really explode to the line as Darkwell would. And Williams explodes to the line, but sometimes his vision is bad to where he just runs into the back of a blocker and then he's jammed up and he can't go anywhere. Darkwell seems to have the combination of both. He has good vision and explosion. So I just want to see him, you know, him get more touches going forward. Other than that, hopefully we could play some good defense against Drew Brees and get this win this weekend.
like it. I mean, he pretty much answered everything for us. But I think we're in full agreement with you. But it is. I think we're all waiting to see how they're going to spread the reps between those backs. And to be honest with you, I agree with you in regards to Darkwa and Williams, because Darkwa played much better during the preseason than Williams did. Now, like I said earlier, he got his opportunity. He maximized it, and he helped this offense. He gave that extra boost. You saw the offensive lineman fired up with the way that he's run. So they need that run game. They've got to lean on it in this game, because this isn't a game where Eli can sit back and throw 50 times like he did up against the 49ers, especially up against this defense. Cameron Jordan has been lights out, ladies and gentlemen. If you're looking for anybody to vote into the Pro Bowl as a defensive lineman, defensive end, he's been it. 9 TFLs, 20 quarterback hurries. How about this? 14 quarterback knockdowns and 6 sacks. What they're doing is they're running all different types of stunts and twists, because they've been getting teams in third and long situations where they don't have anybody helping on the outside edges. They're trying to chip. They're trying to slide protections. And they've been able to come right down the bow of the quarterback and lay some big hits on people. So he's a player that you're going to have to watch out for. So I hope that Jeremy Newhouse and Schwartz comes back healthy from this week, because they're going to get a lot of different picks, twists, stunts to that side, hoping to get right into Eli Manning's face and forcing turnovers.
Well, just to give you, again, an injury report in regard to practice that's going on right now as we're hosting the show. Prince Amukamara is out, of course, not expected to play this week, along with Victor Cruz and Will Beatty. John Beeson is not practicing today because of an ankle issue. Double O is not practicing today because of a hamstring issue. Jeff Schwartz because of an ankle. JT Thomas because of an ankle as well. But Unga will work. Was surprised to see that he wasn't active against the Dallas Cowboys. So just, you know, I love seeing him play. I love his enthusiasm and his intensity, and he's always around the football. I want to get your thoughts as well before we take our other calls. Eric Flowers' performance, yes, against Greg Hardy.
Played very well. He actually, in the run game, actually ran him over one time as well. And you saw the frustration in Greg Hardy and Randy Gregory, because earlier in the game, both Greg Hardy and Gregory were on the same side, going up against Justin Pugh and going up against Eric Flowers. All the times they went up against them, they were unsuccessful. So what did they do? They flip-flopped to the other side, and they started putting Greg Hardy where he started to get some pressure on Jeff Schwartz. I think that that left side has become the strength. I think Weston Richburg has fit right in to his natural position at center. It's still that right side. We saw glimpses earlier in the year of them making strides, but it seems now with Schwartz's injury and that inconsistency, they've got to find a way to hold things up on the right-hand side of the ball, because even though it's not the blind side, that's right where Eli can get sacked and those forced fumbles, because the ball is facing right at those guys. So it's going to be very important for that side to step up and make sure that they block things up, not only in the quick passing game, but in everything else, because let's face it, Eli Manning has got to be standing upright in this game. He cannot take the hits and sacks, because this defense will thrive on it. And once they do that, it's like blood in the water for Rob Ryan, because here comes the house.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line 4. Gerald's calling in from Virginia. Gerald, welcome. Gerald, you there?
Gerald. We got you, Gerald.
Good afternoon.
All right.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay, welcome
on
board,
buddy.
All right, hey Jeff. I mean, you guys look good up there. But I just want to say about the same comment about Darkwa. Darkwa, I mean, and when they get close on the red zone, I mean, they should use him admirably, because, like you were saying earlier, Jeff, he's more or less like a straight ahead runner. He's a powerful back, and he might can break that 1-2 yards that they might need to get in. Because Andre Williams is a good player, but I think, like the comment said earlier, I like Darkwa better in that position.
It's a legitimate question and a legitimate point. He showed that toughness. He showed his durability and his ability to run through those arm tackles and be physical, lower his pads and run through things. So, like we all said, it was great to see, and it's going to be interesting to see the balance between him, Jennings, and Vereen moving forward here, because let's face it, we need all of those guys to step up, and it's almost like one can spell the other. Shane Vereen. You've got to give him a lot of credit the way that he's run and he's played, especially down the stretch. He had some big ones in the third and fourth quarter for the Giants, and that's going to be huge in this game because if they can not only get him running the ball, but the main reason why he's here is to get screens, if they can open those things up, they can spread out this New Orleans defense, and they've got two young rookies playing inside, so at the linebacker position. So if they can get on these young rookies, if they can confuse them with different formations, different looks, I think that's where you can see this defense spread and you can start to gash them.
Let me ask you something. The challenge in regard to Andre Williams, do you accredit it to vision? Do you think is he having issues vision-wise in regard to following the blocks? Or why haven't – because I think a number of Giants fans were anticipating Andre Williams to really take over that lead role as the running back, the main running back in this backfield this season. Obviously, that hasn't happened. What are you seeing his challenges are, Dave?
Number one, it is vision. You saw it a little bit last year, and then this year, you're still seeing issues. When you're in the NFL, those holes are open for a split second. You can't have any hesitation. You can't have any doubt. And you've got to make sure that with your vision, you hit him and you get downhill quick. And when you're working double teams, when you're working as an offensive lineman at the point of attack, there's no excuse for a running back to run into you because, number one, he sees the hole opening. He sees where the linebackers are, and he sees where he needs to hit it. As an offensive lineman, people don't really think about this. We're the only people on the football field that never know where the football really is because you don't see it. So you've got to get a feel for it. And sometimes with his vision, he doesn't set up the blocks or he gets too impatient and starts running into things. But it's all about having that calm balance that the minute that you hit it, there's no hesitation. You got to get downhill and hold on to the football.
201-939-4513. Let's go to James calling in from Ecuador.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. James, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yeah, David, Anita, thanks for taking my call. I'm on Skype, so our connection may not be all that great, but I'll try to spit out my points and I'll take your response offline if that's okay.
Okay.
You got it.
Okay. First of all, while we're on the running back Williams subject, first of all, I just texted or tweeted a minute ago. I think he's got Ron syndrome. And what I mean by that is I just don't think he has good running back instincts. And it may be he needs more time at the position to get better, either be more patient or work on some kind of a one-cut technique or something. But as far as I see, defense has already got him figured out. So he isn't going to help us. And it can't be a situation where if you give him more carry game, he gets better. He's 8 to 10 carries. And that's how this offense is. He might be able to do that with Dallas, but not with New York Giants. So I think that he needs to be put on the shelf here and leave this Darkwa in because you could easily see Darkwa has running back instincts. I mean, he's so quick to cut. He's quick through the hole. And he's got some power, too, that helps. Now, he can help us immediately. Williams isn't and hasn't. Defenses know him now. So that's all I'm going to say on him. The one thing I do want to talk about is the play calling at the end of games we had the last possession with Dallas in that Dallas game. We decided to run the ball 3 times up the middle and punt to Dallas so that they could have the last opportunity to come back and tie the game. I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, if one first down and we're good, that game's over. You can't. The New York Giants we're not ready yet to say to the defense, here, we're giving the game to you to take over. You take over the game. Our defense isn't very good when it comes to the fourth quarter, and we all know that, like it or not. Teams have come down like a hot knife through butter on us at the end of game. Can't really afford to be turning the ball over to the opposition so that they can score. And not only that, but in a game before that, I can't remember which game. It might have been San Francisco. that we had a fourth down and two at the goal line, fourth down and one or fourth down and two. It was a real critical point in the game, and we decided to kick the goal. And you know, the Tigers would have won the game. You know, would have been the end of the game. But we decided to kick the field goal, and that bothers me. I really, you know, I know that there are times in the game you take the points, you kick the field goal, but this at the end of the game, fourth and two, you got to have some confidence in your line that or in your offense, totally, that you've got to go for that. And I didn't see that. And David, you're an offensive lineman, and I got to tell you, you much in that call for an offensive lineman playing today with the Giants. Why not give me the ball? We'll take it. You know, we'll take over this game. And they could have done that. So anyway, go ahead. The only other comment I'm going to make, and I made it last time I talked to you guys, which was Reuben Randall. And the only statement I'm going to make is that Bill Parcells would not have Reuben Randall on the 53. End of story. So thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it, and I'll take your comments offline. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for watching Big Blue Kickoff Live all the way from Ecuador.
Yeah.
There was a lot there.
I know, yeah. There's a lot to digest.
Did you take mental notes and how to
– Well, in regards to – I'll start with the one point that I'll go to that really stuck out to me. The one that he really started with is the play calling and running the ball three times in the fourth quarter last week against the Dallas Cowboys. Number one, in a four-minute drive, which the New York Giants were in, you want to, number one, run the football effectively. So the fact that they didn't get a first down on that, that goes on the offensive line. Because as a group, you say, we can close out the game if we can run the football and we can get a first down and we can do it on the ground. So as an offensive line, you have got to step up to the point because you know in a four-minute drill, it's all about continuing to move the clock, continuing to move the chains and seal the football game. So as an offensive line, I have no problems that they ran the ball three times in a row. I have a problem that they didn't get the first down on it, obviously, but I have no problems with that because, number one, you're leaning on your big guys to get it done. Number two, you're either forcing the Dallas Cowboys to take a timeout to waste it, but you're also letting the clock tick and drain down. So you're getting less time for the opposition if they do get an opportunity. Yes, we're all going to question it when it doesn't work out and you're still giving the punt, even though we got the muff, you're going to question that. But I have no problems with that. You have to put that onus on the offensive line. I've been in that situation before. You have a four-minute drive, run the ball down their throat and prove that you deserve to win that football game.
I want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Here are some tweets, mind you. Not only are we taking your calls at 201-939-4513, but also we are sharing your tweets. Hashtag Giants Chat. Darkwa has – this is from Easy – he says, Darkwa has better vision than Williams and Jennings, and just as quick and fast, he's a good complementary back to Jennings.
I agree with him. I think we're all in agreement with that. And, you know, if we can get a nice, you know, scheme going, if we can get a nice balance between both of them, I think that you can add an extra dimension to this offense. And once again, going back, I agree with the fact that I would much rather stick with Orleans Darkwa than Andre Williams. I saw that during the preseason. Orleans Darkwa got his opportunity now, and I think that's a reason why he played last week. It's because he earned the right to be on the football field and because Williams was not getting it done.
This is from John F. He says, Saints smoked the Giants the last two times in New Orleans. Was it one of those games? Tough for Giants, New Orleans, coming on.
Well, I played in both of those games. So, yes, it is tough. New Orleans is a tough place to play. I've never won in the Superdome. Going back to playing the LSU in the Sugar Bowl my junior year and now going as a professional, I've never won in the Superdome. It's one of the most hostile environments. And you're right. The Saints are playing with a new energy. They're playing with an attitude. They're playing with confidence. And they look like a completely different football team than they were when they started 0-2.
This is from Silver Golfer. Oh, I'm sorry. I switched Johnny. Just Johnny. I'll go with Johnny. Bigger threat this week, Ben Watson or Brandon Cooks?
It's a great question because they're used in different
ways.
Don't
forget, you got Willie Snead.
Oh, yeah, Willie Snead. Well, the interesting thing about Snead
was...
I
like a little bit better than Brandon Cooks this year.
He's one of Breeze's favorite targets to go to, and you've got to give Snead a lot of credit. He was a practice squad guy last year who earned the right, and a lot of people didn't even think that he'd make the roster, and he's emerged as one of the players. Cooks is so dynamic, and he is a home run hitter. He's got big play speed, 6 catches of 20-plus yards, and you know that you cannot let him get behind you. Watson has been a complete product of the bootlegs and the play action that they run. He'll sit on that backside blocking. Drew Brees will run the bootleg. He'll run the out route. He'll run the crossing route across the other way. So they find ways to get him involved. And we've seen some of the struggles that the Giants have had with tight ends. In the second half, they were able to make adjustments and make Witten not that dynamic. But in the first half, Witten was catching all over the football field. And that's been a problem for the New York Giants this entire season, has been covering tight ends. So that's going to be another huge one. But I would say the biggest threat right now, I would say Brandon Cooks, because he can take the top off.
All right, let's continue with your calls, 201-939-4513. Nita Marks, David Deal, and you here today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to line one. Joseph is calling in from Virginia. Joseph, welcome.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Great.
Excellent, Joseph. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you, David?
Couldn't be better, my man.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on the Brandon Cooks matchup. He's a really scary player, man. He can just burst off whenever he wants to, you know?
No question. No question. What do you got, my man?
Do you have
you got
a question?
For?
Oh, yeah, I was going to take you back on the Cruz situation. Like, I know it's not like a Reese-type move, but, like, if this keeps going on, do you see them trading for a receiver?
I think it's going into where we're at right now in the football season and how much they would have to give up for whoever they would go after. I know.
And it's just, it's not the identity.
It's not what the New York Giants do.
Right.
No, but at this point, first in the NFC East in a tight race like this, you know, if you can get a skilled player to help alleviate and take away some of the stress that's all put on Odell Beckham Jr., it can open things wide open. At times, we've seen Reuben Randle do it, but it's not consistent. Dwayne Harris has provided a little spark, but he's more of a returner than he is a receiver. That's why he was brought in here, but he has been taking spells and open up things for the offense. But that's where Victor Cruz, like everybody knows, would have been huge to have both of these guys out on the field, because then you have a nice slot that can take away that pressure where you can quick hit and where you can't bracket an entire coverage to Odell Beckham Jr. It's going to be another interesting thing to see is how are they going to be able to attack the New Orleans Saints, and are they going to attack Brandon Browner? Because he has been the player that the quarterbacks have been going most after, not only because they feel that he's getting older and he's a little bit stiff, but he's been the most penalized defensive corner in the league since 2011. So you know when you go to his direction, you could get a possible pass interference, a holding, all the different things that he does to try to get away with in those 3 to 5 yard periods. So you know that that's an area that they're going to try to attack as well.
Let's continue with our calls. We go to Stetton. Is that correct? Stetton, line two. Hello? All right. All right, let's go to line four. Kevin calling in from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the running backs.
Okay.
Kevin,
welcome. Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Welcome and great.
I just wanted to say, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I think we, you know, a while ago, maybe 10, 20 years ago, we had the one running back situation where all these guys are running, you know, 30 carries a game, you know, 25, 30 carries a game and carrying the load. I know the athletes have gotten bigger and better and stronger, but I don't think the getting a rhythm by running the ball more than 10 times hasn't gone away. You know, I think that, you know, everybody's got to kind of ease off Williams here, because it's just a matter of, you know, a lot of things, you know, the holes opening up on the line, the timing, you know. I don't think Andre Williams has really gotten enough carries to get his mojo going, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what? It's thank you for the call, by the way. You know, it's an interesting point that he makes, because you hear this a lot in running backs in the NFL, and that is, you know, there's an ebb and flow that is created in a football game. And probably more so than any other position is the running back position. To kind of, they need that time. They need to be that workhorse to really get a feel for the flow of the game and really gel with the flow of the game in order to produce. So it's, I mean, you know, here we are talking about a three-headed monster when the season started. Now we're talking about a four-headed monster. Will that hurt a few of these guys more so than help the team as a whole?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and it's a great, great thought, because that is something that you think about when somebody's not getting as many touches and they're not maximizing them. But at the same token, it's not just what you do on Sunday. Obviously, Orleans Darkwa has been practicing his butt off in order to step up, move up the ranks, and get his opportunity. So I understand where you're coming from. It's almost like an offensive line. We don't rotate at any point because you have got to play and get into the flow and seeing the same thing as the person next to you so that the next time it comes, you can pick it up. Defensive ends always say, I just can't come in and pass rush. I need to set up pass rush with doing things in the run game and setting up with my first initial contact and moves, whether it's the third and shorts, to set up the third and long pass rush for a defensive end. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. But at the same time, like I said, it's not just what you do on Sundays. It's what you do week in and week out. And Orleans Darkwa has earned the right to step up and play, and he took advantage.
Let's go to Jimmy in New York. Jimmy has a question about Will Beatty. Jimmy, welcome in.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Jimmy, great to talk to you, buddy.
I appreciate it, and I do enjoy the show. Before I ask the question about the Will Beatty, I just wanted to commend Jerry Reese for his draft picks over the last couple of years. It may not pay dividends this year, but I think the character guys he has on the roster right now if doesn't pay dividends this year, it will over the next couple of years. And I think Jerry Jones has got to spray some cold water on his face for making that comment that Greg Hardy is such an inspirational leader, especially after my boy Eric Flowers, 21 years old, threw him around the field like a rag doll Sunday afternoon.
No, you got to give Flowers a lot of credit from the way that he's playing and the way that he's improving week in and week out. You love his mean streak and his toughness, and that's why they drafted him as a young 21-year-old player, because he can be a cornerstone for this offensive line for a long time. And like I said, him and Justin Pugh have got a great mesh and cohesion with each other, not only in the run game, but you can see them communicating and hammering things out on the field and on the sidelines. And I know they've been doing everything they possibly can do, you know, walking through things out on the field, watching film together. They've been playing extremely well together.
Hey, you know what? I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I don't think I've seen Greg Hardy make one play against Eric Flowers on Sunday.
He didn't. He made him on the opposite side. You're correct.
Yes, I know he had the sack. It was on the opposite side. But I think, as mentioned, my boy had his way with him. And the one question I do have, guys, about this Will Beatty, is there any way, shape, or form we can get him on the field this weekend, even if it's only 15 or 20 snaps?
No way. That's not going to happen.
Thank you for your call, Jimmy, by the way. But Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, he addressed it. And I can completely agree and understand where Coach Coughlin's coming from. He hasn't been in shoulder pads and a helmet. He hasn't hit anyone. Granted, he's been working out. He's been doing things. What I would like to see, if not this week, if he doesn't step up this week and they don't think that he can take on a full role, I would go jumbo. Put him in as a tight end and roll with the offensive line and get things going at the point of attack, because he could really help things at this point if he's not ready to go for a full game and you don't think he can last. At least that's a way to get him on the field, get your six best offensive linemen on the football field, and not have to worry about a tight end, and see if you can play downhill football to open up things in this running game until he is fully healthy and can take over. I said the entire time when we've talked, when he comes back and he's fully healthy, I would put him right at the right tackle position, leave Flowers where he's at because he is blossoming and becoming the player that we all knew he was capable of being. Put Will Beatty on the right side and solidify things moving forward here.
Let me ask you this, because this is a tweet, again, hashtag Giants Chat, from Joe. He says, did you hear that JPP signed a one-year contract? Yes, we did hear, Joe. We talked about it when we opened up the show. Yes, JPP did sign a one-year contract.
Incentive-based.
Incentive-based. Obviously, he's going to be performing for that 2016 deal that he's hoping, I'm sure, that he'll get. Whether it's with the Giants or another team, that will be decided, of course, a little bit later on. But he is here right now. He's a Giant right now. Not expecting him to play until week 10, possibly week 12 after the bye. What can we expect from him? Really, that's the big question. Just don't know right now. I was seeing some reports, a few analysts out there expecting him to be a situational pass rusher. I mean, what can you sit back not knowing what he can do, what his physical limitations are, not knowing any of that? What can you assume his role will be on this defense? I don't think you can.
Well, that's the thing. You can't assume because he hasn't been here whatsoever. The coaches, they hear that he's been working out. Yes, he's gotten his strength back. Yes, he's put the weight back on. Yes, he says he's been doing all the conditioning and working and doing defensive line and defensive end drills. But they haven't seen any of this stuff. So now is the time where now the coaches and the Giants organization can start establishing a timetable and what his role will be based on what they see today and the rest of the week and everything moving forward here. Because that's the only way that we can really figure out how it's going to happen and how it's going to work.
Let's go to line four. Stefan. Stefan is back. Is that how you pronounce it?
Hi, Anita. Yes, it's Stefan.
Okay. Well, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. Hi, David. How you both doing?
Great.
We're doing great.
I would like to give you guys praises first. So first off, before I start with my question, that you guys do a wonderful job, and that the fans need to lay off you guys sometimes. That you guys are working with the Giants, so you can't put out any misinformation before you guys lose your job. So I think the guys that Schefter and all the other people from NFL Network have inside sources that get all the information and puts it out there that JPP got the 1 year contract, that fans expect you guys to know that before they do. So it's not our fault that you guys have to make sure you don't put out any misinformation so you don't get canned from the organization.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the Giants. I'm not here to break breaking news or try to be a beat writer or any of that stuff. We're here to talk about what's happening in football games. And, when it comes to things like that, when you look at Twitter and Instagram and all the stuff over the media, you don't know what's right and what's wrong. Everybody's going to report something.
Exactly.
So we're just giving our fair analysis of what we think is going to take place in a football game.
And I do appreciate the phone call, and you're absolutely right. I mean, fans who do tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live have to understand that, we can't report anything until the Giants report it. So even though it might be out there from like a Dan Graziano or an Adam Schefter or something like that, they're reporting that. We can't report anything until it's officially reported by the Giants. So we do appreciate your phone call. And he's gone. All right, let's go to Greg in New Jersey. He wants to talk about Spags.
All right.
Greg, welcome in.
Greg? We're losing a lot of people today.
I know. What's going on? Do we have AJ on line two? Well, we've got two guys on line two. So AJ?
Or is this Greg?
Or is this Greg?
This is Greg.
All right.
Greg, welcome in.
Hey, Greg.
Welcome in.
thank you for the work you guys do as well. First-time caller. David, thank you for the memories, Super Bowl, and all the work you did with the Giants, and Anita also for just keeping the fans connected with sports and the Giants in general.
Appreciate it, Greg. Thank you.
Sure. I was wondering, what do you guys think of the impact being that Spagnuolo was a head coach with the Rams in that division, with the Saints, I believe, right? That's the division. I just want to make sure I'm saying that right. Having seen that offense, I know the last two games, I believe, we played the Saints. There was a stat that they put up like 49 or something amount of points. But that was with Perry Fuel or Tim Lewis at the time, I believe. So I don't know if Spag has faced them and the fact that he's familiar with that division. How does that do you guys think there's going to be a flow, help the defense? And I think he's doing a great job with limited pieces. We don't have a JPP. Hopefully he can get back to some level of what he was, and that would still be an upgrade to what we have right now. Hoping Jermaine Moore eventually wakes up, and just excited to see where the team is going right now, where it's headed and the way he's been kind of holding that defense. So I just want to hear your input on that.
Okay.
That has any do you think that has a factor in
okay, number
in the
one,
game?
The number one.
Thank you for the call.
The Saints and the Rams are in different divisions. They're not in the same division, but the connection to Steve Spagnuolo and the Saints is that he was a linebackers coach on the staff under Sean Payton the year that he was suspended. So Spags is familiar with this team, but there has been a lot of turnover. But I think at this point, Coach Spagnuolo knows what he's getting into. Sitting down and talking with him, you know, obviously what happened for him in St. Louis didn't work, and it's unfortunate it didn't because I'm a huge Steve Spagnuolo supporter. But since then, what he learned from New Orleans and then going to Baltimore and coming here, he's found a way to mesh his 4-3 system with a 3-4 system as well. So he has both of those systems down pat, and he finds ways to find matchups, whether it's spreading things out defensively, whether it's being aggressive, attacking. He has a nice fit because he understands both of those, and he's seen both of what happens from an offensive standpoint when you're going up against a 4-3 and a 3-4. So that's the connection. But I think more than anything, Steve Spagnuolo understands how important it is to be aggressive and to be able to attack veteran quarterbacks like a Drew Brees, because Steve Spagnuolo understands that if you let quarterbacks like this sit back there with all the time in the world, with zero pressure in their face, and you don't disguise things and don't do things to change things up, these quarterbacks will tear you apart. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that Steve Spagnuolo has the knowledge and understanding, and more importantly, the game plan of what he can do to attack Drew Brees, to minimize who he is as a quarterback and make him cause mistakes.
How interesting has it been this season, Spags, knowing Tyrod Taylor for his time in Baltimore?
Baltimore, yep.
Okay. Knowing Sam Bradford.
From St. Louis.
For his time in St. Louis. And then having the connection with the Saints.
It's crazy.
Each and
but
every
that's how football is.
I mean, that's how the coaching trees are. But each and every game, there's had to be, you know, definitely an element of you know, him being able to really know a lot more than most.
Yes,
you know?
No question.
All right, let's go to line three. AJ is calling in from South Carolina. AJ, welcome on board.
When JPP makes his season debut, how many snaps do you think he will play?
I'm sorry, one more time.
It's
a great question, and I think it's a question everybody would like to know, and it's something we've been talking about on the show, and you know, we just don't know. We really don't.
I mean, he's at
practice today,
yes,
by the way.
Today's the start of the evaluation of where he's at currently and where he will be moving forward. Obviously, the hopes and prayers of this football team and organization is that he comes back, he gets into shape quick, and can help out, because we all know that pass rush is a definite need, and it's been one of the issues that needs to be addressed here moving forward, because, you know, when you give Matt Castle extra time, when you give any extra quarterback that time, that they're going to be able to do things. And let's face it, down the stretch here, November, December, this is where it comes down to being able to stop the run, which the Giants need to do a great job at, but also force teams into third and long and be able to attack quarterbacks. And right now, they haven't been doing it at a consistent level, and now they have one of those pieces back that they were hoping all the way back to the offseason was going to be the key contributor to open up things for this defense.
Again, reminder that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to play for free today. Let's take one more call before we sign off for Big Blue Kickoff Live. We go to Carlos calling in from Pennsylvania. Carlos, welcome in.
Thank you. How you doing? How you guys doing?
All right.
What's up, Los? How you doing, buddy?
Good. I just wanted to talk about Eric Flowers. I wanted to see if you can, you know, David Deal, if you can tell me how good have you seen him performing, like, you know, ever since he started? Has he improved? And, you know, what have you seen from him, you know, exactly, you know, since you get to see him, you know, more often than I guess we do on the game?
Number one, you can definitely tell his confidence. not only in the playbook, because
he gets that from the U now.
Yeah, not only from the playbook, because you have so many different things thrown at you. And as a rookie going from college to the pros, it's a big transition. So, number one, his confidence and his understanding of the playbook, so that when you're out there, you're reacting and not thinking. Number two, confidence in himself. You can see him being more physical with his hands in the passing game. You can see his feet and his hands tying together when he's punching. You know, that was one of the issues that he had coming out of Miami, was getting that comfort of being able to be aggressive but not getting forward too much and not being beat around the edge with that big size. So you see his technique and his comfort level. But I think the biggest thing that you really see in him is – progress each and every week. He's getting better each and every week. His technique is getting much better. And talking to Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, is he says the best thing about Ereck Flowers is his game's only getting better because it's between his ears. He wants to be the best football player that he can be. So he's spending the extra time with coach, going over the playbook stuff, watching film, doing everything that he possibly can do as a young player to go out there and perform at the level that he's been performing at.
All right, let's end with this, because there's a lot of talk right now. We're heading into week 8 of the NFL season. There's a lot of talk out there right now.
Okay.
Who's the rookie of the year?
All
like,
right.
You know, who's in the running? Who's in the conversation? Obviously, Todd Gurley has just been amazing since he's been unleashed by the Rams after week 4. Amari Cooper actually put up some really 133 yards and a touchdown against the San Diego Chargers, who were actually quite good against opposing wide receivers. That was, in fact, I benched him on a lot of my fantasy teams, not expecting much from him.
Wow.
So he totally surprised me.
I'm
this
surprised
last
you
I learned
admitted my, that on air.
I learned my lesson. Well, sometimes you got to look at the matchups, especially a rookie.
Yeah.
First-year rookie going up against one of the best defenses against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. But nonetheless, this is my question. My question to you is, you know, Dancing Bears don't get a lot of respect. If Dancing Bears did, do you think the season that Ereck Flowers is having so far, I mean, this performance against Greg Hardy had to have turned some eyes
heads,
and some ears. You know, is it, you know, I know that he won't get it, but is it fair to at least have him in the conversation?
No question. It's definitely fair to have him in the conversation. But like you said, this is a time where offensive linemen aren't really considered because they don't put up numbers and stats in our fantasy world right now. But you know what? He's definitely a player that people are opening their eyes about because of the way that he's playing, the way that he's improving. And he's doing it at the hardest position on the offensive line, at left tackle. So he has nothing but upside. He's continuing to get better, and he is getting the attention that he deserves to be getting. Now it's about doing it throughout the entire season, because November, December, as a rookie, is when, as a college player, you're starting to dwindle towards the end of your season with the amount of preseason games, the amount of practice, and the amount of games that you have in a regular season.
He's hitting
for
that
the
wall.
NFL.
He's got to get
you start
beyond
hitting that wall. Yep. You've got to go beyond that hump, and that's going to be the biggest factor, is how is he all the way at the end of November into December, because that's when you start to break down whether you're a rookie or whether you're an older veteran.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending your lunch hour with us, myself and David Deal, for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, if you missed the Tom Coughlin press conference a little bit earlier on today, you can see it its entirety on Giants.com. Also, players will be made available after practice today, and I'm sure there is a ton of media here today. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane. I couldn't even find a parking space today when I pulled up. So there'll be a ton of media here, and I'm sure a lot of questions about JPP, considering that he was out at practice today. Stay tuned to Giants.com for those interviews. They will be posted a little bit later on. And tomorrow, I believe, is Paul Dottino and Howard Cross for Big Blue Kickoff Live. So make sure you come back for yet again another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow, high noon, right here on Giants.com.
Have a great day.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!